Good morning, friends. My name is Tony Miano. I attend Faith Community Church in the Santa Clarita Valley. I'm here with the prayerful support of my pastor and my elders. And I'm here this morning to share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other good news but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is only one Jesus, my friends. That is the Jesus who has revealed himself in his word. That is the Jesus who has revealed himself in creation. For all things were created by him and through him and for him. Let no one confuse you, my friends, from false religions that would say that Jesus is a created being, that Jesus is merely the incarnation of an angel, or that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, as one religion teaches, or that Jesus is merely a good prophet, as another false religion teaches. Jesus Christ is the God-man. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man and without sin. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive your sins. Jesus Christ is the one before whom you will stand to one day give an account. Jesus Christ is God. I'd like to read for you this morning from the book of Hebrews. God's Word tells us this. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Did you hear that description of Jesus Christ? That was not the description of a created being. That was not the description of an angel, a created being. That was a description of God Himself. Jesus Christ, God the Son, fully God, part of the triune God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That one humbled himself to the point of taking on human flesh. He humbled himself to walk among his creation, to walk among those of us who have sinned against him. And he would one day humble himself to the point of even death, death on the cross at the hands of his own creation. Jesus Christ is God. And yes, young man, I will continue to preach. Thanks for the word of affirmation. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. What does it mean that he made purification for sins? What it means is that he shed his innocent blood on the cross. This book, the book of Hebrews, will later say that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sin. And that blood had to be perfect. For only the sacrifice of God could appease the wrath and anger of God against sin. And only a perfect human being could represent man and sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And there is only one who meets that requirement, and that is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. You cannot do enough good works. You cannot perform enough sacrifices. You cannot be religious enough to wash away your own sin. The only one who can wash away your sin is the only one who shed his innocent blood for sinners like you and me. And that is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Now let me explain that. There are some religions who will hear that word, "begotten you," and they will say, "Aha, see, Jesus is a created being." But that is not true. When you see words like begotten or firstborn of all creation attributed to Jesus Christ, the Word of God is not talking about the order of birth. The Word of God is using that word as a means of declaring preeminence, declaring that Jesus is over and above all of creation. Not that He was created, but that He is superior to creation, because He was with God the Father in creation. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ never began to exist. He has always existed as God, as the Son of God. Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son." And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." My friends, only God can receive worship. Only God can receive worship. And that is one of the reasons why the Jewish people killed Jesus Christ, because he received worship. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. It's a story of a blind man whom Jesus healed. He was called before the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to give an account for how he received his sight. He was born blind. And never had there been in the history of their people the testimony of a man who was born blind and then received his sight. And so this blind man, who did not know yet who Jesus was, simply testified that this man healed me. I was blind, but now I see. Well, they so hated this testimony. They so hated the fact that he was giving credit to Jesus, because they knew who he was speaking about, that they threw him out of the temple. They cast him out of the temple. And Jesus, seeing the man outside the temple, approached him and asked him if he knew who healed him. And the man asked, and the man said, I would like to know who healed me. And Jesus Christ said, "It is I." And the man immediately dropped to his knees and worshipped Jesus. Now, any time in the Bible where you see an angel appearing before a man, and the man dropping down to worship the angel immediately rebuked that person and said, "Get up, I'm just a servant like you." But Jesus never rebuked anybody when they bowed to worship him. He received their worship because he is God. And that is why the Jewish people sought to kill him. But of his son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Even God the Father refers to the Son of God as God. "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? This first chapter in the book of Hebrews is entirely about Jesus Christ. It makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And my friends, it is this Christ, it is this God, it is this Lord, it is this Savior before whom each and every one of us will stand to give an account for our lives. The Word of God says, and it makes it very, very clear, that my friends, that everyone will stand before Him one day to give an account. It says that He loved righteousness. He loves righteousness. And He hates wickedness. He loves righteousness, but He hates wickedness. The Word of God says that there is none who is righteous. There is none who is good. No, not one. The Word of God says that He is angry with the wicked every day. But yet, most people, and including myself for 23 years of my life, most people would declare that they are good. That they are good people. Now granted, we can do things that are relatively good. We can do things that aren't as evil as what others do. That's certainly the case. But God's standard for goodness, my friends, is moral perfection. Jesus even said, no one is good but God alone. My friends, God does not see us as good. God sees us as lawbreakers. Why? Because we have sinned against Him. All have sinned, the Word of God says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Word of God says there is no one who is good. No, not one. So my friends, if you think you're going to stand before God and have Him overlook your sin and just put a rubber stamp of approval on you and allow you into heaven, then you do not understand who God is. And you do not understand who you are in the sight of God. My friends, God will judge each and every one of us according to the perfect moral standard of His law. He is not going to see us as how we see ourselves in the mirror. He's not going to be arbitrary in His judgment. He's not going to play favorites. You're not going to be able to bribe Him with your own good works or your own perceived goodness. He's going to judge each and every one of us the same way. And that is according to the perfect moral standard of His law. My friends, when you die and stand before God, if God sees you as one who has broken His law because you have lied or you have stolen or you have mocked the preaching of His gospel or you have taken His name in vain, or if you have harbored bitterness or resentment in your heart and thus hated another human being, or if you have coveted, not being content with what God has given you in this life. Or if, my friends, you have worshipped other gods other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in creation and in the testimony of His own Word. God will see you as one who has broken His law. And because God is good, He must and He will punish sins. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin, my friends, is eternity in hell. And it doesn't matter whether we believe it, and it certainly doesn't matter whether or not we like it. What matters is that it's true. I mean, think about it, my friends. If you were to be found guilty of breaking the law here in California, and you were finding yourself standing before a judge, and the judge asked you, what do you have to say for yourself? And you look the judge in the eye and you say, Your Honor, I don't believe you're the judge. I believe you rented that robe from a costume store for Halloween. I don't believe I broke the law. I don't believe the jury found me guilty. I don't believe I'm going to jail. Therefore, I'm free to go. What do you think is going to happen to you in that courtroom? Do you actually think you're going to make it out of that courtroom? Of course not. Doesn't matter for a second what you believe about the judge or what you believe about the law. What matters is what the judge believes about you. And my friends, God is the ultimate judge. He is the perfect and holy judge of all the universe. It doesn't matter what you believe about Him. What matters is what He believes about you. I only have them in English today, my friends. I'm still waiting for the Spanish ones to come in, so, okay. That is the God whom you'll stand before, my friends. Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. And there was a reason for that. He didn't want people to perish and go there. That's why he talked about it. But that's the reality, my friends. If God finds you guilty of breaking his law, he is going to do what is right. He's going to do what is good. He's going to do what is just. And he is going to punish sin. But my friends, you need to understand that that same God who is angry with the wicked, that same God whose wrath abides upon the ungodly, that same God who will judge the world in righteousness, is the same God, because there is only one. It is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. You see, my friends, we look at God with a skewed perspective. We look at it only through, at times, only through the lens of our sinful humanness. We think that God owes us something. We think that we deserve something good from God. Because we don't see God as holy, and because our standard of goodness is so very low in comparison to God's. And that's why the word of the cross, which I'm about to share with you, is such foolishness to so many. Because they actually believe that they are good. They actually believe, whether consciously or subconsciously, that they are the God of their world. That they're answerable to no one. That they're autonomous. But that's not true, my friends. That's part of the delusion of sin. But that same God who will punish sin is also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. In that he has made only one way for us to receive forgiveness of our sin. And that was through the gift of himself. Let's go back to the courtroom for just a moment. You're standing before the judge. The judge has found you guilty. And the judge sentences you to death. And just before he's about to have you taken away to serve the punishment you deserve, the judge stands up. He takes off his robe of authority. He steps down from the bench. And he goes to that death chamber in your place. You were guilty. The judge found you guilty. But yet the judge took your punishment in your place. You see, my friends, we have a great dilemma. How can God be perfectly holy and righteous and just and punish sin, while at the same time be loving and gracious and merciful and kind and forgive sinners? It happened at the cross. That is where justice and mercy kissed, was at the cross. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, my friends, and I'm 48 years old, I've had a lot more time to sin in this world than many of you. Unlike you and me, Jesus Christ never once broke God's law in thought, word, or deed. He was and he is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus even said, I have not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through me. He lived a perfect, sinless life that none of us are able to live. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, my friends, he voluntarily went to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin on behalf of sinners like you and me. Although he never sinned, although he never did anything wrong, he voluntarily went to the cross to die for sinners. He took upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And unlike every false god created in the imaginations of men, Jesus Christ is alive today. And he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. The Word of God says that God has overlooked the days of ignorance, but now commands all people everywhere to repent. What does that mean? It means to turn away from your sin, to turn away from your hatred of God and your love for sin, and to turn toward God, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made only one way for you to receive forgiveness and for you to receive the gift of eternal life. And it is not through your way. It is not through religion. It is not through good works. And it is not through denying God's existence, which the Bible defines as foolishness. It is through a humble and contrite heart. For it is a humble and contrite heart that God will not despise, that God will not cast out, that God will not turn away. For God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And the definition of grace is receiving something that we do not deserve. My friends, none of us deserve God's forgiveness. None of us deserve the free gift of eternal life. If we could earn it, if we could deserve it, if we could work for it, it would no longer be a gift. It would be wages earned. But here's what the Bible says about wages. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So please, my friends, hear what I'm saying. If you do not hear this as a message of love, there are three reasons. One, you love your sin more than you love God. Two, you love yourself more than you love God. And three, on some level, whether consciously or subconsciously, you actually believe you are God, which is the apex of the delusion of sin. So humble yourself, turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. Young man, you've been mocking for a while. Have the courage of your convictions. Don't just whisper. Have the courage of your convictions. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you believe. I can't hear you. Why would you say something like that? Because you hate people? Sir, the Catholic religion is a false religion. No, the Word of God is true, although every man may be a liar. So what's going to happen to you when you die, young man? What's going to happen to you when you die? Yes. Based on what? Based on what? Nope, sorry, good manners won't help you at all. God doesn't see your good manners. He doesn't see your good. You're right. I'm not good either. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The only way you can go to heaven is not through your religion. Being Catholic, go right ahead. Can you do it with a clean mouth, though? Because it's what comes out of your mouth that reveals the condition of your heart. See, you couldn't even do it for a second. Your mouth is so filthy, you couldn't even do it for a second. I'm not talking about my religion. That the Catholic religion is false, yes. Because it's a works righteousness religion. Because it's false and millions of people like you have been fooled into believing it's true. It's the Word of God, it's Jesus Christ. What's that? It doesn't matter how many people. The Word of God says that the way is narrow. The way is narrow that leads to life, and few will find it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will find it. Young man, going to Mass on Sunday makes you no more right with God than going to In-N-Out makes you a double-double. You can be as religious as you want to be, but you're deluded to think that that religion will save you. And you can knuckle bump all you want, but you're still bound for hell in your sin. You need to repent. You need to turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Because right now, young man, by the words that come out of your mouth, you reveal that you're a hypocrite. And I don't want you to perish in your sin. Well, sir, as long as you're standing here, I'm going to talk to you. As long as you're standing here, I'm going to talk to you. Because I want you to hear the truth. I don't want you to perish in your sin. I don't want you or anyone else to go to hell. But young man, God is opposed to the proud. I know, and it's going to send you to hell. It's going to send you to hell. I know I can. Only God can. Only I am not God. Only God can convince you. But right now you're deluded. Right now you're deluded, young man. You think that you're good when no one is good. No one is good. No one is good. I'm not good. You're not good. None of us are good. What's your name?
No, I agree.
What's your name?
I'm not going to shake your hand, but
what?
I agree with you.
What's your name? I'm Tony.
I told my friend that he was going to hell because he's a Catholic.
I'm going to hell because of what's coming.
No, he says he's going. But you just told my friend.
Yes.
That he was going to hell because he's a Catholic.
Right. But how does a person go to heaven?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No, look.
It matters.
Everything you're saying, you just cancel all that out.
That's not true. Young man.
I was feeling everything you were saying.
But it doesn't matter what you feel.
Your feelings are irrelevant.
My feelings are irrelevant.
No, feelings
what
matter.
No, what matters is what's true.
Because what you're saying right now.
What matters is what's true.
But listen, hear me out. I was understanding. And listening to what you had to say up until that point. When you took the focus away from the word and you focused on the ignorance.
The ignorance. Okay, now you understand you just called your friend ignorant, right? Does he know that you think he's ignorant? Does he know? Why are you being so judgmental? Why are you being so judgmental, young man? I'm not judgmental. The word of God is the judge. What's your name? I'm Tony.
Hey, I'm not ignorant. You called me ignorant.
No, he did. I didn't call you ignorant. He did. He said I took my attention off the word and focused on ignorance. He was talking about you. I wasn't talking about you. That was your friend. My friends, religion will not save you. Religion will not save you. Catholicism won't save you. Mormonism won't save you. Jehovah's Witness won't save you. Religion will not save you. It will not save you. Religion only makes you a slave to sin. Salvation is only by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And my friends, if you know Christians who won't tell you that, who think that all religions lead to heaven, they don't care about you. They don't love you. Every Sunday, how about you, man? Every Sunday. Where do you go to church, young man? I answered your question. No, I'm sorry, the Catholic Church is not the Church of God. The Catholic Church is not the Church of God because it teaches a different gospel. It teaches a different gospel. I'm going to continue preaching. I'm going to continue preaching. Sorry. All right. So what I'm going to do, since he doesn't want me to talk to him, I won't talk to him. But millions and millions of people have deluded themselves into thinking that if they go to a particular kind of church, they're right with God. That is not true. Hey, now wait, now, if you're going to talk to me, young man, I'm going to talk to you. That's the way this works. Now, if you don't want me to address you, I won't. I'll respect that. But if you talk to me, I'm going to talk to you. My friends, going to church does not make you right with God. Especially if that church does not teach the truth of God's word. God bless you, brother. Have a good day. All right. Especially if that church does not teach the word of God. The Catholic Church believes that you must believe in Jesus, but that you must also pray to Mary, that you must also do good works to earn your way into heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that it is by grace we're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. Salvation is a free gift. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation cannot be deserved. And Jesus said, it's what comes out of our mouths that reveal the condition of our hearts. And so when you're cursing and cussing, while at the same time saying you believe in God, you're simply making yourself out to be a liar. And the truth of God is not in you. No hypocrite, my friend, will enter into the kingdom of God. My friends, I go to church, but going to church doesn't save me. Going to church doesn't make me right with God. Only God can make me right with God. Only Jesus Christ can make me right with God. And my friends, I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good, because I'm not. Not because I deserve it, because I don't. Not because I'm perfect, because I most certainly am not. I'm going to heaven based on what Jesus Christ did on my behalf. I'm going to heaven because He chose to save me through the sacrifice of His Son. You see, my friends, God gets all the credit. I don't take any of the credit for my salvation. God and God alone gets all the credit. He gets all the glory because salvation is of the Lord. It is not a work of man like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. It's not. And they don't even believe in the one true Jesus. They believe that Jesus is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. And they blaspheme God by that very belief. They believe they can work their way into heaven by doing good works, which blasphemes God by that very belief. The only God who could save you, my friends, is the only God who is alive, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Fully God and fully man and without sin. He is not a created being. He is not the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. He is not the spirit brother of Lucifer. He most certainly isn't a prophet second to Muhammad. Jesus Christ created Muhammad. And when Muhammad died, he stood before Jesus Christ to be judged for his blasphemy by creating a false religion known as Islam. My friends, come to your senses. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, while God has given you time. Turn to Christ and live, the real Christ. Turn to Jesus Christ and live. And may God bless you. Thank you for listening.